Well, we've been excited about the day, of course, and this for many reasons, but let me get this one announcement out of the way. Tonight, of course, I already told you what we'll be looking into, a great, great service. I want you to come and hear the Rochesters, the Brent Rochester family. They'll be singing and playing. It'll be a great time. I really do believe you'll hate that you missed it if you aren't able to come, so please be here at 6:30. And then after they do the first part of the service, we will dismiss those first through fifth grade out of the service to a kids' mission program. It'll be happening every Sunday evening this month. And every Sunday evening in the services in August, they'll be dismissed during the service right before Brother Bowman preaches. Don't take offense, brother. They just would have a good time with the children. And but that'll be after that time of about a half-hour concert with the family. They'll be singing, playing. It'll be a great time. But then the preschoolers, they'll go back to their class before the service starts at normal time, the beginner age. And so we have a great time for the children tonight, and we'll have a good time together. And then of course, you'll get them before you go for the ice cream social. So we'll have that going on today, or tonight, I should say. But you notice the flags up here in the auditorium. This is the first Sunday of our missions month. I believe Preacher Lashley got this church started in Faith Promise Missions years ago. And you look at the way something has progressed, and it's hard to, you look at the elements and you say, well, something in that must have made this place blessed. Well, we know everything that happens is blessings from the Lord. But I believe one of the tangible things that was put in place to bring God's blessings, if you can say it like that, is the fact of the emphasis being placed on missions. Because we don't want Christ to be named where he already is named. We do want that. We keep on preaching, keep on giving the gospel out, because there's always people that need to hear it. But we want him not only to be named there, but we want him to be named where he's not named. Meaning we want his name, and these flags represent some of the places that need to go, but there's so many more where his name needs to be taken through a gospel preaching missionary. Doesn't have to look exactly like us. Doesn't have to be exactly like us. But he has to do one thing, he or she has to do one thing exactly like us, and that is preach the message of Jesus Christ and him alone, the one that's needed for salvation. And so this is the beginning of our missions month. And I'm telling you this up front because I want our family and I want your family to be praying, okay, what can we do? Most of the people in this room are involved in Faith Promise Mission, grace giving. It's above your normal tithe and gifts so that you give to the church. But it's what you would like to play a part in our 100 or so missionaries that we have. And I want you to be praying. There's no commitments being made today. There'll be faith promise cards in the bulletins and different things, but there's no commitments being taken today or anything like that. But now there will be at the end of the month. And I want you to pray and settle in on a number. I believe that all God's people ought to be involved in missions. I don't know how much you should be involved. And I would not be so presumptuous to tell you should give this much per week or month or however your budget is. But I think, regardless of the amount, that I'm challenging you as your pastor, that everybody, to the youngest to the oldest, everybody get involved in missions. Because we've got a responsibility to get the message of this book, which is Jesus Christ, to the world. And the way that we can do it, you say, well, isn't there some other way? There is. We could volunteer to go. And that'd be wonderful. But if we don't volunteer to go, then I think we have a responsibility to pay those that do go and support them and get them over there. So that's the beginning. This, we'll go through the month of August, and I want you to be praying, Lord, where do you want our family to come in on that? Is that $20 a week? Is that $50 a week? Is that $5 a week? Is that $1 a week? Maybe a child would give a quarter a week. What you give is not important to me. It's God's business, you and him. But I want to challenge all of us to be involved. So Brother Bowman, why don't you come? Brother Eric Bowman is the African Director for Baptist International Missions Incorporated. It's the largest missions agency of independent Baptists in the world. But he's also a dear friend, and he's a member of our home church, Franklin Road Baptist Church, although he's not there very much. But my pastor says that's the best kind of member. Eric Bowman hardly gives any trouble, but he tithes. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a deal. Do you want to change memberships? You come over, I'll smooth it over with Pastor Norris. But his pastor is my pastor, and so he's a wonderful friend, but he's also, he'll share with you today and tonight about what God has done through his life and his daughter's lives and his wife's and how they've been used of the Lord. But more importantly than that, he'll share about how we can get involved in missions. And so it's wonderful to have my friend Eric Bowman preach for us this morning. Thank you, Brother Bowman.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Let's open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts. Acts in chapter 1, and boy, it's exciting to have the beginning of the missions month here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And boy, I hope that each and every one of you are going to be able to be participating in every single week. I hope that you come with an expectation that God will speak to your heart. Now, you know what? If you come with an expectation, if you come to church a little bit hungry, if you come to church a little bit thirsty, and you're wanting the God to speak to you and to fill that void, let me tell you, God would love to do it. Oh, he wants to be able to fill the need that you have in your life. I don't know what needs you may have coming to the service this morning, but let me tell you, as they sang just a few minutes ago, there is victory in Jesus. Amen. How many of you will be able to testify that there was victory in my life through Jesus Christ? Amen. Boy, it's exciting. And boy, it was refreshing to be able to hear a family get up here and sing and even see their chins a little bit quiver as they sang, because you know it means something in their heart. And I hope that this means something to your heart this morning. And it's exciting as we look at this missions month. As we look at the highlighting the greatest ongoing effort in world history, and that is the continuing effort of world evangelization. Our gracious Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he ascended up on high, he gave us this great commandment: go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every generation since then, there has been an effort. Though some of those efforts may have been feeble, some of those efforts in some generations have been limited. Oh, but let me tell you, it's come to our generation now. Oh, and let me tell you, the people around the world now, these are our responsibility. And it's our privilege to be able to serve and to work alongside and labor with others and together with laboring with God to be able to propagate his message throughout the world. Let me tell you, from one that has traveled nearly 60 countries of this world, over 40 within Africa itself, God's doing some great things around this world. Amen. There is more available to us. There is more tools available to us. There's more resources available to us now. And let me tell you, the reaching of this world for Christ is attainable. Amen. It's doable. But what we need is every Christian today to participate. New Testament missions is 100% participation. That's how they were able to turn the world upside down in just a few years after Christ's ascension. And by the way, that was not Christians boasting, we turned the world upside down. No, that was the unsaved world accusing the church, you've turned the world upside down. Oh, and may this unsaved world today accuse the church today of, hey, we have spread the gospel. We are spreading it now. We are actively involved. We've got plans. We're praying. We're moving. We're going. And may they accuse us for turning the world upside down for Christ. But if we do, it will take all of us doing our part in worldwide evangelization. Oh, I hope that you will be ready this month. And I hope that you'll be prayerfully considering, God, what part do you have me to do? There are some people in this congregation. There are some people even under the sound of my voice, whether it be on the internet or whatever, that God needs to work in your heart. God is already calling some to be able to go with the incredible need that we have all around the world, with countries that have just a handful of gospel witnesses and entire countries. Let me tell you, there is much more opportunity we have. There's some that need to surrender. There's some that need to say, God has not called me to go. God's called me to labor here in this church. Praise the Lord. Plug in. Do it. But let's send. Let's do all we can to help those that go. And then may we all prayerfully engage and constantly come back to the throne of God, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest, that He would bless and that He would help and He would encourage. For we have an adversary that would do all he can to disrupt. May we prayerfully consider what God has for us to do right here this month, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Let's all stand together as we begin to read now just a few verses. Beginning there in verse 1, a familiar passage here. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. To whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs. Boy, aren't you glad about that? His resurrection had many infallible proofs. Amen. Don't you let anyone tell you that Jesus Christ did not die and was buried and rose again. Let me tell you, he is now ascended up on high. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And there's many infallible proofs to that effect. Amen. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. My text will be taken from the first part of verse number 11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? I want to challenge you this morning on the thought, are we gazing? Are we gazing, or are we obeying the Lord and going? Gazing or going? Our Heavenly Father, I do pray you would bless now the remaining moments we have in the service today. I pray now, Father, that you truly would bless and help now your people to hear directly from you. Give us all now those Spirit-filled ears that we may be able to hear exactly what the Spirit has for us to learn and has for us to apply and for the decisions that may need to be made. I pray that you would strengthen us. Speak to us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, the timing of this text is right after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is what we consider now the ascension of Christ. He has gathered them all together. And as he is speaking to them, as we read in the text, he slowly begins to rise. Can you imagine that taking place? As pastor begins to preach on some Sunday morning, and he slowly begins to rise. They watch him. They've noticed, the disciples have noticed there was a distinction with Christ ever since his resurrection. Sometimes he would leave. Sometimes he would show up. And now he seems to be leaving in a different manner. And what manner is this? And they continue to watch and continue to and listening to exactly his last words, his final commands and last instructions. And finally, the Bible says, a cloud received him out of her sight. They begin to look still. Do you see him? There seems something strange about this time. There seemed to be a certain finality to it. Christ had given them many instructions. He had given them the Great Commission multiple times before this. And now he wraps it very succinctly, as he did in verse number 8. They are still gazing. How long they stood there, we do not know, but I will tell you, it was long enough to where heaven dispatched two angels to be able to go down there and say, hey, why are you still here? Why are you still gazing? Christ has given you commandments to do. Let's go do them. Many times we can be very hard on the disciples sometimes as we read back through the New Testament. It's often because we have the completed canon of Scripture and we can be able to read the end of the story, right? If you put yourself into some type of situation just like the disciples, you can imagine as they are thinking, he's given his commandments, but this time seems to be different. There's a finality to it. Is it now truly left up to us? Yes. The angels come, give the encouragement. They go immediately, they go back to Jerusalem and they wait for the promise of the Father. And oh, it came on the day of Pentecost. The disciples, of course, they loved the Lord. They wanted to serve him, they wanted to follow him. They knew what they were supposed to do. Christ had given them instruction. Christ had given them provision and even the promise of further provision as he says, I will be with you always. It's very easy for us to be able to say, come on, disciples, let's get going. Come on. Don't you know that in just 10 days from now, disciples, Pentecost will be there. And 3,000 will be able to be added to the church on that day. And oh, what a wonderful time. And from then on, from that beginning of Acts all the way up till now, the church has been building and growing and evangelizing. Disciples, come on, let's go. But how many times are we just like those disciples? The disciples heard Christ for 3 years give parables, testimony. They watched his life. They've heard the commands. They've heard the things to do. And now when it comes to the point when it's their opportunity to do it, we find them gazing. You know, Satan wants Christians today to gaze. Satan wants the Church of Jesus Christ to just sit there and to be able to listen. They come to church, they listen, they watch, but they don't involve, they don't engage. How many of you feel a little bit like this world is starting to go a little bit more and more crazy? Yeah. What does it cause you to want to do? Does it cause you to recoil a little bit? You see more and more of the world changing and things going a little bit weird and the things, the circumstances of the world and our cult, our own culture and the moral declines and all the things that's happening. What does it cause you to do as a Christian? Many times it causes us not to engage. We pull away. We pull back into our homes. But that's not what we're to do. Even if we think of what the Church of Christ have just come through the past couple years through all the restrictions and lockdowns and everything. Many times the Church of Christ, what happens? We have not been engaging. We have many times we have found an excuse not to engage. Not to engage this world. Many times not to be faithful to the Lord. Circumstances have provided an excuse. Oh, let me tell you, if you are looking for an excuse not to serve God, Satan will be very, very happy to supply. Oh, but we need to realize that we have a great commission in the Scripture. We have a great command. And great, we know exactly what God has for us to do. We have the provision and the wherewithal to do it. Christ has given us His Word. He's given us His gospel. He's given us the provision that we have in our pockets. We have the ways to do it. We have the means. We have the Holy Spirit power. We can be able to do what all the other Christians in the past, what the great disciples have done. It's possible. It's attainable. But often we're found gazing. Oh, let me share with you this morning. I believe that there is some points we need to be able to bring out of the text. I believe, first of all, that Christ has an expectation for us to go. The Bible says, ye shall be witnesses. Go ye therefore. Go ye into all the world. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. It kind of sounds like God wants us to do something, doesn't it? That's exactly right. Even our text here, ye shall be witnesses. Did you know that you are a witness whether you like it or not? The Bible does talk about vessels of honor and vessels unto dishonor. I know it's a trite statement, but it's very, very true. You do realize that many times you are the only Jesus some people will see. Oh, how we must be careful. Oh, how we must God, how we must be able to communicate the gospel. There is an expectation that God has for us. And of course, if you've been part of this church for any length of time, you know the beautiful verse that there in verse number 8, the word there both, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and all Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We know the beauty of that verse. It is to be both. We are to be going to Jerusalem, to our area, to Judea, the next area, to the Samaria, to cross culturally, and to the uttermost part of the earth, simultaneously. Wow, how can we do that? Well, that's the reason we have missions. We go locally right here. Amen. By the way, your church has some beautiful tracks. I've been to some churches, and sometimes I've been a little bit embarrassed passing out their tracks. You know, hi, I'm from Baptist Church, and okay. These are beautiful tracks. Thank God for the first class of your pastor and the staff. You can be able to say, hey, I'm from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Wow. We can be a witness locally to our Jerusalem. And both make sure that we are engaging our other regions around here. Did you know that God wants you to make sure that you're planting churches here in America too? Amen. You know, if churches here in America would do what they expect their missionaries to do abroad, we would have a different country here. We need to make sure that not only are we going in our Jerusalem, we're also in Judea and the other areas around us, and also we're not afraid to go cross-culturally into Samaria. The Samaritans were different. They were half Jew, half Gentile. They didn't really get along with each other, but you know what? They don't have to look like us. They don't have to talk like us. They don't have to necessarily have the background or ethnicity like us. But you know what? They are souls for whom Christ died. Therefore, it's us, our responsibility to go. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We go here, And here's our faith promise card that you got in your bulletin today. We're to send here. Go here and send here. That's the both. That's the both. And by the way, in order to be in full compliance to the Great Commission, we've got to be doing both. There are some, even that are engaged in wanting to serve God, they do exclusion. Some of them are only local church, or we only go here, but they don't do anything here. Careful. That's not an obedience to the Great Commission. Some people will do everything here. And boy, I can show video of Africa, I can show pictures, and I can be able to pull on the heartstrings. Believe me, after doing this for 30 years, I've got stories, okay? And I can tell the stories, and I can be able to pull on the heart, and you'll want to do everything here, but you don't do anything here. But that's not the pattern either. It's both. God has an expectation. Are we gazing? Or are we engaging? Are we going? Not only does there an expectation, I believe also Christ was our example. The going was exemplified. Verse number 11, this same Jesus. The same Jesus was the perfect example of the going. Jesus could have stayed put in Nazareth. You realize that? He could put up a sign and said, I'm the Messiah, y'all come. And they would have. All Christ's ministry, the entire ministry, he had people follow him all over the place. They were thronging to get to him. Christ says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He could draw them. We can't. That's the reason Jesus was our example. He didn't stay in Nazareth. He didn't stay in Capernaum. He didn't even set up shop in Jerusalem. He went everywhere. The Bible says the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. He was always going everywhere, spreading the gospel, spreading the news, doing all that he can to be able to let people know the Messiah had come. The same Jesus, he exemplified going. He showed us how to do it, went everywhere. He showed us how to go into the highways and the hedges and to compel them to come in. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, he went about doing good. Oh, how we need some Christians to do that, to make sure we have a godly testimony. Jesus says, I always do those things that please the Father. Paul, speaking of giving the gospel, I quoted this morning in Sunday school, let your conversation or manner of life be as becometh the gospel. Oh, we need to make sure everything in our life, our testimony, our manner of life, how we engage this area, how we engage this community, everything is that becometh the gospel. Well, let me ask you, when you go to the grocery store, how is your testimony? When you sit at the restaurant and engage others around you and the waitress, how is your testimony? Oh, let me tell you, pastor can't pastor the town by himself. He needs a whole congregation to help him. And let me tell you, and we thank God for the heritage that's been placed here through the years. And that people know in this area, when they hear Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, they know the testimony. Praise God for that. But you know what? We need to maintain it. There's other areas, there's other people around Johnson City that need to hear it. They need to know, they need to see, they need to experience, and may the members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church be those ones that, hey, there's a difference, there's a distinction, there's something about them. That I tell you what, there's something about them that they are a Christian. I want to know more about that, and not only will we live the life in front of them, we will personally engage them and confront them with the gospel too. Because that's another both. There was an argument many years ago whether the lifestyle evangelism or confrontational soul winning, which it is supposed to be. It's both. It's both. We need to live the life on Monday and make sure that we carry the gospel too. Let me ask you, are you a track-giving Christian? You know the people who give out tracts? Are those that carry them. And I'm guilty of this many times. Thank God I have a wife that has a big purse. But you know what? We got to be carrying them. We got to be able to give out the gospel. You know what? There's an expectation. Christ set the example. The going was exemplified by Christ, but also thirdly, quickly, lastly, the going must be expedited. Why? Once again, our text verse. Jesus is coming back again. This same Jesus is coming back again. We say, oh, come on, preacher. We've heard the message that way for a long time. Christians through the century, nearly 2,000 years, have been preaching that message. Oh, let me tell you, yes, that's true. But if you're a student of prophecy, even just a small smidgen, is that a good term around here, a smidgen? Let me tell you, you know we are living in exciting times right now. Oh, you know what? Even when I was a boy, when evangelists would come through our church and they would talk about Jesus coming again, they had no idea some of the things that we understand now. They don't understand all the possibilities that were there. We actually can see the revelation taking place. We can actually see how the Antichrist is going to do his things and how he's going to control. We can see all this. All the things are falling into place, and that shouldn't cause fear. That shouldn't cause us to recoil. That should not cause us to go into our homes and set up a fortress and, you know, collect all the guns and all the dehydrated food and, you know, and all. No, we should engage this world. Jesus is coming back. Don't listen to the fear that Satan likes to produce. Don't listen to it. We need all we can to engage this world for the cause of Christ. It needs to be expedited, even more so now. The book of Hebrews has that verse, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see, what's the last part of that verse? The day approaching. What's that day? It's Christ's return. You know what? As we get closer and closer to Christ's return, there's going to be some people that's going to be forsaking the assembly. We don't need to do that. We need to be gathering, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We need to make sure that we are in good fellowship with other Christians and making sure that we're encouraging them and exhorting them, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to make sure that we are listening and we're adhering to good doctrine and biblical standards in our life. Why? Because we need to be the witness. Why? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, we shouldn't be going back. We shouldn't be gazing. We should be engaging. We should be going. We should be communicating the gospel. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Oh, let me tell you, it's exciting as we look at the days ahead. But there's some Christians that are still gazing. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus is going to come again. Wait for the promise of the Father. And oh, he came just 10 days later. The church established. And the ongoing acts of the local church have taken place till this point today. Every one of us are here as a result in some way of missions. You were won to Christ by someone. You were led to Christ by someone. Whether it be a Sunday school teacher, whether it be a parent, whether it be a pastor, whether it be over the radio, whether it be over the TV or the internet, let me tell you, somebody at some point cared enough to give the gospel to us. Don't let the gospel stop with us. Let it go through us to somebody else. And let's do it both for the cause of Christ. Are we gazing? Nah. Let's make some decisions this morning. We need to go. We need to engage for His glory. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You now for Your time this morning. We thank You so much for the reception of Your people and all the kind looks in their faces and how they are receiving Your word. We could tell, Father, so much that they have already heard so much of the truth. Oh, but Father, so often Satan confuses us. And he causes us to have fear well up in our heart. And many times at a point of evangelism when You encourage us to say a word or to give a tract, we recoil because the person's different. They're wearing something that's different. They look a little different. They're communicating differently. Oh, but Father, there are souls for whom You died. You sent Your Son to die for. And I pray, Father, that You and through Your love would challenge us. Help us to be filled with Your Spirit even more. To engage this world for Your gospel. I pray now, Father, for the members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. A good church, Father. One that is engaged in evangelism, engaged into the community through the bus ministries, engaged, Father, through missions. But, Father, it must be. Everyone must take a part. I pray that all of us would be a part now through the efforts now of this church this month. I pray You would challenge our hearts. I pray there's some that need to make a decision this morning. I've been gazing too long. I need to engage. I need to go. I pray, Father, that they would make those decisions this morning. In Jesus' name. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, just simply want to ask just a few questions this morning. How many of you with an uplifted hand and say, Brother Bowman, thank God for missions. Thank God that someone shared the gospel with me. At some point, I am saved. I do know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. And you'll raise your hand to testify to that fact. Amen. Praise the Lord. Put your hand down. Thank you. How many of you with uplifted hand also say, Brother Bowman, I have to admit I've been gazing a little bit. Pray for me. Pray for me that I'll engage this world as I ought. Pray for me that I will do as Christ would have me to do. Maybe the Holy Spirit has pointed something out in your life. Brother Bowman, will you pray for me? I've been gazing a little bit. Would you raise your hand? Yes, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, several. Up in the balcony, yes, several. Thank you. Put your hands down. Amen. Bless you. Could there be someone also to say, Brother Bowman, I'm not even for sure I'm saved. You're talking about the gospel. You're talking about salvation. I'm not even for sure I understand all of that. Oh, first of all, let me tell you, thank you for coming to church. You're in the right place, and we want to help you. If you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, you don't know really what we're all talking about, but you'd like to know more, would you raise your hand and let us be able to help you? Amen. Anyone at all? Would you lift up your hand? Anyone else? Anyone? Heavenly Father, I do pray You would bless the hands that have been raised. I pray that You would help now the Christians that have before You said that we need to engage more. Perhaps they've been gazing somewhat. I pray You would help now to have some decisions this morning that will be lasting, that will go forward now as we begin this great month of missions, and now we will be able to more knowledgeably go and engage this world for You. In Jesus' name. Their heads bowed and their eyes closed. Let's all quietly stand. We'll have verses of invitation. You know what to do, Christians? If the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, we ask for you to come. The altar is here. Some people have already come already. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? I've been gazing a little bit too long. I need to go. Some of you raised your hand and say, Preacher, there's been times that perhaps that you have not gone.
gone as you should. We have some sweet ladies up front. Where's the men? Where's the men? Where's the teenagers this morning? Who are we? Are we going as we ought? Gazing or going?
As they continue to play, would you just ask yourself that question, am I gazing or am I going? And going could mean that you go across the way, or it could mean that you go ready this week to talk to that coworker. You're praying as you go, Lord, open up the opportunity for me to share what they desperately need. Are we going? I don't think that any of us are going too much. My heart has been convicted this morning that I need to be better. Brother Bowman was talking about having gospel tracts. So many times I've reached for one. I just didn't have it in my pocket. I didn't have it anywhere close. Shame on me. Would you look this way? And I want to thank Brother Bowman for being here, and what a wonderful, wonderful kickoff of our missions month. And like I said, I'm very, very open about it. I want everybody to be involved. It doesn't matter how much you give. I mean, it does, but what God leads you to give, you make sure you're right with Him. But as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter. That's between you and the Lord. But I want all of us to have a part. What He was saying is so very, very important. Those guys were just standing up there. And I'm thinking about this. We've all seen this happen. Two or three or four fellows are standing around there, and they're all knowing something needs done. But so many times they just stand there, and when they're done looking, the job is still undone. And I don't want it to be that way with our current need. I'd love for you to get a gumption down our souls just to say, I'm going to do something to get the gospel out. I'm praying, I'll just let you know, I'm praying that we have some folks this month that surrender to the bus ministry, praying for people to surrender to the mission field, praying that the folks would just surrender to get the gospel out. So may we be those goers. What a joy to have Brother Bowman and his wife here. I'm going to ask them to slip on out to the lobby, and and you get a chance to slip by and see them. Now, I did not mention this part, but just to connect this piece, Brother Bowman is the African director for Baptist International Missions, and Miss Summer Scroggs, of course, is going to Africa as a missionary with BIMI, so Brother Bowman is her director, and we're so thankful for Summer and what the Lord has worked in her heart to do, and then her response to that, and so we need to keep on praying. It's amazing what the Lord is doing in our church, and I'm so thankful for Summer's willingness to go and spread the gospel, and I want us to continue to pray for her. Well, again, as we mentioned, don't forget to be back tonight. We want to challenge you to be here. If you get a chance this afternoon, you can look on Google and look up on YouTube the Brent Rochester family. You'll see a little bit of their playing, and they'll have a great time here tonight. But I also wanted to tell you that as far as for our family, we're so thankful to be back, but in Buffalo Ridge. But my son is... he'll be leaving this afternoon. He's going to move over to Murfreesboro. He's just in transition back and forth. You know, he finished up college. And so he will be, he accepted a position as the assistant pastor at Franklin Road Baptist Church, our old church. And so we're thankful for the work that God will be using him to do. So he'll be leaving this afternoon, trying to get over there before service tonight. So I covet your prayers. I know that the times that since we've been here, he's been in college, except for a brief time when he was online only, so he was here. But I know that many of you have not got to know him as much as you would like, but that's immaterial. I want you to pray for him. And we, of course, would love for him to stay here and serve the Lord and stay with us, but he's also got a call of God in his life, and so he would wants to follow what the Lord has done, and so he's prayed much, and so he'll be launching out and be assistant pastor over there at a wonderful church. We served there for 12 years or so. And so I want you to please pray for him. But it's exciting what the Lord is doing. Elizabeth Farmer, of course, Wade and Leslie's daughter, is up in D.C. area. And she and her fiancé have accepted a position at Heritage Baptist Church up in Woodbridge, Virginia. And they'll be serving the Lord there in the ministry. And, of course, you know that Maddie Brown and Victoria Radford are about nearing their training's end. And they'll be on internships and things. It's exciting to see young people who are desirous to go and serve the Lord. And I want us, as those that are staying behind, that we would be behind them in encouragement and in prayer and in text and calls and letters and what all you can do just to encourage these young people, because this is a bold move that they're making. And one thing that we can do to encourage the ones right below them to step up and do what God wants, one thing that we can do is to support the ones that are currently doing that, so that the young people don't have it as a wondering in their mind, wonder what people will think about when I do that. Well, we want them to know that we will stand right behind them and hold the ropes for them and launch them out. So we're so thankful for our son, thankful for these other young people that are serving the Lord and preparing to do so. Thank you again for being in church tonight. We look forward to being here tonight. Brother Marty, would you mind slipping out? Summer's dad. And, of course, I know that they're very thankful for Summer, their daughter, launching out and the connection that they have. I'm thankful they're getting to know Brother Bowman better. But would you pray for us? My family and I, we're going to slip back to the back, and we'll be there. You greet us. We'll look forward to greeting you, I should say, and get by and see the Bowmans as well. Brother Marty, pray for us, please.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for what we heard and the challenges we've been presented with. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to be faithful in both areas of our lives, of giving and not only money, but also of giving the gospel. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done. I pray that you're blessed in the service tonight. Lord, I pray that you be with Jared as he goes, that you have a hand upon him and use him and bless him in a great way. Lord, we just thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.